welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site. Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Bishop Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong, right to his arms.
Afternoon, we are in the house of the Lord. And I believe you came to hear from God, isn't it so? I have a very interesting word for you. I've started a couple of series which I intend to continue. I've started talking about Nakazo. I really intend to continue it. I spoke about Art of Following and the Heart. All these things, I intentionally introduce them and then we'll talk about them later. But just this afternoon, very briefly, I want to talk about the shepherd of your soul. The shepherd of your soul. If you want a longer title, you can say the shepherd and bishop of your soul. The shepherd and bishop of your soul. Tell somebody the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Hey, is he coming to talk about himself? No, you people have spoken about me enough. I don't need to talk about myself. Turn your Bible with me very quickly. We want to read a few scriptures. First Peter. Tell somebody, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Turn to another person and say, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Ask him, who is the shepherd and bishop of your soul? Is it your boyfriend? Is it your husband? It's not even your pastor. It's Jesus himself. I said it's Jesus himself. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to read from verse. Maria Mama Shikotori Kiara. 1 Peter chapter 2, are you there? Why do we start reading from? Every single verse looks important. But I think that for the sake of time, we want to start from verse 17. And that will stop at the last verse, which is verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I have a few scriptures that I want to share with you. So be alive. The children are here. So I will make my sermon very brief. But once again, I believe in sharing the purpose of every sermon. The purpose of this sermon is for us to understand order. Order. Everybody say order. And where there's order, you move towards promotion. You move towards productivity, you move towards increase. Are you understanding me? Where there's what? Order. When things are disorderly, you can easily spend a lot of energy. Like go to your room, for example. When you have arranged your things and they are all, let's say, on a wardrobe or they are hanging maybe behind your door or something, it's easy to pick it. As compared to when they are what? All jammed together and now you are looking and picking things. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the purpose of this sermon, like I always like introducing purpose, is for us to understand order. And as we're just coming from a consecration, somebody may be wondering what it really means to have a bishop in the church. Different people have different reasons. But I want us, in the space of this short sermon, to understand what it really means also to have a bishop. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. So let's just read the scripture very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2. I said we'll start from honor all men. Did I say that? Honor all men. What verse is that? Let's all read it together. 1, 2. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear who? Fear God. And then honor who? One more time. Honor the king. The king is the one who is in authority. The king is the one who is over a kingdom. Can I preach the word of God to you? Shepherd and bishop of our souls. It's a very beautiful title, and you would understand in a moment. Verse 18, reading very quickly because the verses I have to read are many. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That is to the one who is patapa. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Tell somebody, endure grief. Grief means some kind of pain. In different countries, there are different expressions that they use. In Ghana, if somebody wants, is causing you trouble, you normally say that, this man, he caused me. Isn't also? Is that terminology still used? He's causing me. Or what do you normally say? He caused me, or he's troubling me. In Nigeria, they say he's looking for my trouble. In South Africa, they say he wants my grief. Tell somebody, do you want my grief? It's like opese meko ehaumu. But in this case, the Bible says, if a man for conscience towards God endure trouble or endure grief, suffering wrongly, come with me. Jump very quickly to verse 20. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. Many, many words. Don't be worried. Verse 21. For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Tell somebody an example. Christ is supposed to be an example. Christ, Jesus Christ, as we are in Palm Sunday, Jesus is supposed to be the example, not anybody else. So if a man of God tells you something that is not in the word of God, forget it. If a man of God tells you that he can turn into a snake, he can turn and bite you. You see, Jesus is our example. Tell somebody, Jesus is our example. Yeah. So even when we wear robes and everything, and we come and sit here and all that, you ask yourself, what example are we following? I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Everything that we are doing, Jesus is our example. Now the Bible says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Tell somebody, follow his steps. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile. Guile means evil found in his mouth. 23, who when he was reviled, I just said, yeah, no, ayakayaka there. When he was what? Reviled. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Today's Christians cannot handle suffering. They cannot handle insults. They cannot handle injury. May you be able to handle insults in the name of Jesus. If you have never been insulted before, it means there's something wrong with your Christianity. Yeah, for the sake of Christianity, somebody should insult you. Ask somebody, can I insult you? You too, you shouldn't insult people, by the way. Am I helping somebody? Shepherd and bishop of my soul. But the Bible says, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. This is the story of Easter. On the tree, that we've been dead to sins. Tell somebody, I'm dead to sin. We should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You must believe God that you are healed in Jesus' name. Now verse 25, all of us standing to our feet as we read verse 25, 1 Peter chapter 2. If you are there, say amen. 1, 2. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Give the Lord a shout. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here endeth the reading of the word of God. And may the Lord add his blessing. You may take your seat. Ladies and gentlemen, shepherd and bishop, I want to ask a question. And I'll be reading the Bible a lot. Am I allowed to read the Bible? Yeah. Because if I don't read the Bible, we might as well just have gone into ShopRite and then gone to do shopping. But we are in church. Tell somebody we are in church. Say it is our church. And I don't intend to preach long. This jacket is really hot. I need you to understand, as we speak about shepherd and bishop of our soul, that there is a reason why we are supposed to have shepherds, pastors, bishops. There's a reason. And you need to understand, as a Christian, what it means to even have a bishop in your church. Somebody called my wife the other day and said, I hear you are now a lady reverend. She's not a lady, she's a lady pastor. She's a preacher, but she's not lady reverend. She doesn't derive her status or her Christian standing from me. She has it in her own right before God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For those of you who want to say that, oh, I'm a member of this church, so because of that, I'm a Christian. Forget it. Being a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just as, in case your accommodation is a garage, you are not a Mercedes-Benz. Or maybe in case you sleep in the kitchen, you are not a chef or a goat. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. You stand before God, you must know that the blood of Jesus has washed us from all sins. And that is enough. Is it not so? It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Shepherd and bishop of my soul, what is the future or fate of a cow moving from Bogatanga to Homoy without a shepherd? Pastor King, what is the fate of a cow moving? Give me a place in the world or in Ghana. Kintampo. I've been to Kintampo before. Beautiful falls in Kintampo. Kintampo to where? Techiman, that's even a short distance. Or Kintampo to Tikobu number one. Tikobu, no Tikobu number one. Hey, Tikobu number one. Or Zabuzugu. From Zabuzugu to Inzulezu. Who knows Zabuzugu? Who knows Inzulezu? What is the fate of a cow moving from Zabuzugu to Inzulezu without a shepherd? Think about your life. When you don't have a shepherd in your life, when you don't have somebody who can say that, hey, it is enough. In a marriage, for example, most of the time, if the word of God doesn't ring, husband and wife, they can fight and fight and fight. Many marriages, they are fighting inside. Recently, I heard of a friend of mine. I hear on his birthday, when he woke up, as soon as he woke up, normally on a birthday, you would wish to have some nice, maybe depending on who you are, tea in bed or kinky in the kitchen, whatever. But this time, may you have a nice birthday in Jesus' name.
May somebody take you to Kempinski Hotel for fufu and apochinkakra on your birthday. When he woke up, he and his wife, they started quarreling to the point that it was blows. Are you understanding me? So there are some marriages, there's no referee. Can you imagine when there's no referee in your life? Somebody who can say, who can do a whistle sound? Who, how many people, who can do it? Do it, please, help the preaching. Hey! Imagine there's nobody in your life who can say, when you are walking astray, nobody can bring you on course. When you are out of step, nobody can order you. The psalmist says, order my steps in your word, O Lord. Look for that scripture for me, my brother. Today, as I speak to you very briefly about shepherd and bishop of my soul, you may be wondering, what's the pastor saying? What's he going? I need to understand that the word of God has answers for everything. A lot of times, sometimes our lives might not be progressing because we have not understood the need for order. The need for what? Order. And so when there's no order in our life, we move towards chaos. May you move away from chaos in the name of Jesus. And anytime you are moving towards order, you are moving towards the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Anytime you are moving towards a certain kind of order, you are moving closer to the kingdom of God. Let's read a few scriptures and then we'll be continuing. As for the scriptures, I have plenty. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 13. If you are somebody who doesn't like scripture, you will not like this church. So you have two options. Decide that the scriptures are good for me and I will like them. The Bible says we have desired the words of your mouth more than our necessary food. John 6:63 says that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The more you develop a desire and a thirst for the word of God, the more you are going to grow as a healthy Christian. Say amen. That is why quiet time is important. In the morning, instead of just reaching for Coco Sakura and Kose, have the word of God somewhere. That is why when we have been consecrated, one of the things that the bishop gave us, he gave a ring. Give thyself holy is written on it. He gave a chain. But he also gave us a Bible. Who is close to me? Who can help me? He gave us a Bible. Show them the Bible. This was a Bible. It wasn't money that I was given. It was a Bible and a staff. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes can you think that, oh, being a bishop means that, okay, his salary is being increased, or is this, it means this and that. No. It's just bringing about a certain kind of order. 1 Chronicles, the Bible says in chapter 15, thank you, sir, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. Are you with me? For that we sought him not after the due order. Tell somebody, due order. There's a way to do things properly. Are you following what I'm saying? For example, if you go to a car manufacturing, can I have some quiet, please? If you go to a car manufacturing assembly, there's a way they assemble a car. They don't start with the tires. Neither do they start with the engine. Though it's very important. They don't even start with the battery. Though it's also very important. Do you believe that the battery of a car is important? Have you seen a car that they are pushing before? Instead of we enjoying, we are pushing. It means the battery is faulty. But when you go to a car manufacturing assembly, they don't start with the battery. Do you know who can tell me what they start with?
The chassis.
The chassis! You don't know what is chassis, but that's why you're a member of this church. You can learn some words. Tell somebody chassis. They start with the frame and then they start putting. Or like, if I give you skeleton. Who has seen a skeleton before? Not your friend who is hungry and... but a real skeleton. My roommate when I was in school, Professor Kakra, his beloved was a medical student.
Lady Reverend Rajua. So she used to come and learn in my room. I wake up in the middle of the night and then I just lift my head and I can see somebody's bones, like a hand, just there in the middle of the night as I wake up. And say, hey, then I remember that she's there learning. Yeah. Listen, if I give you all the bones in the human body, I've forgotten how many bones there are in the human body. How many, Antipat? 40, 106. Okay, if you are true, we are all true. If you are wrong, we are all wrong. Assuming there are 106 bones, and they are all scattered here, and I give it to you, and I say, Felicia, arrange them. Arrange them. I don't know what you will start with. Somebody say, well, let me start with the skull. Somebody say, let me start with the feet, the metatarsals. Somebody will say, let me start with the hip bone because it looks very big. You can never arrange it if you start from the wrong bone. Unless you take the spinal cord. Tell somebody spinal cord. You know the spinal cord? Yeah. The spinal cord. Then the rest can fit. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking about shepherd and bishop of our souls. If you are going to go forward in this world, you need a certain element of order in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And if a church is going to go forward, we need a certain what? Element of order. That is why a church can at a point say, we are doing consecration service. And that consecration service, we are saying that this and this and these people have, in a sense, qualified. Not because they have been in the church for a long time, but they have sort of qualified to be consecrated bishops. There's a reason. It's the mercy of God, of course. It is also a decision of a bishop's council, and even if I may say the founder. But there is a reason. Tell somebody, shepherd and bishop of your soul. All these things are supposed to bring a certain element of order. Can I help somebody? I need you to come along with me very quickly. So for those of us who probably have not made ourselves real members of a church, but maybe we are sort of on and off and all that, you need to ask yourself, what kind of spiritual order is in my life? Because without that order, without the right structure, certain things are missing. You can arrange all the bones, but by the time you finish, the thing is like some Chinese or like some kind of funny skeleton. I don't know whether you understand me. Because you didn't have order. Ask someone, did you have order in your life? No, let's be real. Do you have order? You can see the dangers of this order when you look at marriage, for example. Sex and marriage. Tell somebody sex and marriage. Tell the nearest person they are talking about your favorite topic. Tell the person that thing. What is that thing? Small boy, you don't know the thing. And I'm teaching you the thing. And you are playing with the thing. Tell somebody sex and marriage. You are looking at me, I'm also looking at you. You can see the dangers of this order when you look at something like sex and marriage. Do you know when sex comes before marriage, there's a lot of danger. And there's a lot of disorder. Yeah. There's a lot of disorder. Because in the word of God, marriage is supposed to come before sex. May you have marriage before sex in Jesus' name. And Pastor, this one, oh dear, you continue preaching this one. You take the word of God and play with it. What it means when we are talking about shepherd and bishop. That word shepherd means overseer. In Lighthouse Chapel, for example, we use the word shepherd for anybody who is in charge of sheep. And you can see that in the scripture that we read in 1 Peter, are you with me? And verse 25, the Bible used that word actually for Jesus Christ. It says, for all we like sheep, verse 24 says, are gone astray, but ye are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And it's talking about Jesus Christ himself. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says that when the chief shepherd shall appear. I need you to understand that when we use the word bishop, we are talking about an overseer. This might I'm teaching here, so just come along with me very, very quickly. The Greek is episkopos. Tell somebody episkopos. E-P-I-S-K
K-O. Huh? P-O-S. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Epi. It's actually in the Greek, epi means above. And then scopos means looking. So above and then looking over your life. You need somebody above. And then what? Looking. Can I look into your life? Can I? Yvonne, can I look into your life? Or you want to just be somebody who nobody knows about you, mystery woman, James Bond. Like the young, like the young ladies, they don't like the normal young guy in the church. Oh. They like James Bond. Mystery figures. So even when they're in a relationship, they won't come and tell their overseer. In case he asks what? Look. I say, this boy, careful. But they just like it like that. They know he smokes India hemp, but it's like, let me hide it. I'm speaking about the shepherd and bishop of your soul, brother and sister. Listen to me very carefully. This sermon might not be the kind of celebratory sermon, but to me, it's a teaching service to help you understand the need for order in your life. I'll give you 5 reasons why we need a shepherd and a bishop. Are you getting me? Number one, one will say, a bishop or a shepherd, it is a place of honor. Everybody say honor. Or a position of honor. I can't say it any other way. And to quickly set the matter to rest, Hebrews chapter 5. Come with me. I wish I could preach a nicer message. I don't know. I wish my preaching could be exciting. But if the Holy Spirit can let you receive these words in your spirit, so that you can begin to appreciate the fact that, Francis, you must believe God that you have a shepherd and a bishop of your soul. Not even just me, but Jesus. You see, so even whatever you are doing, you must bring yourself under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. When Peter was writing to the saints, he told them that they should become people who have oversight over the lost people. Not gradually, but willingly. Not for their money's sake, but thinking that one day they will give accountability. Are you listening to me? As a pastor, one day I know I need to account for you. So, what does it mean to have a shepherd or a bishop in your life? Number one, I say a position of what? Honor. Hebrews chapter 5, if you are there, say amen. In Hebrews chapter 5, there's a very interesting scripture there. I'm interested. We'll start from verse 1, but come along with me very quickly. What does it say in your Bible? Every. Does it start with every? Are you looking into your Bible, looking into somebody's Bible? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Tell somebody, be in church, be alive. For every high priest is what? Taken from among men. That is just like any other person. He's taken from what? Among men. And he is ordained. That word ordained is also from a Latin word. From that word we have ordinance. We have order. Do you understand? This is from an old French word which also means ordinaire. To set in order. Every high priest taken from among men is what? Ordained. Ordained. Tell somebody you are ordained. If you are a shepherd. No, you didn't add up. I say if you are a shepherd. That's why in John chapter 15 verse 6 the Bible says, you have not called me, but I have what? Called you. And what? Ordained you. I pity somebody who is sitting here who doesn't have any shepherd in his life or her life. Ask the friend next to you, do you perchance have a shepherd in your life? Not ask him sincerely, say, do you have anybody who can say anything in your life? Otherwise, you are like a married couple who don't have any referee. Nobody to say, ceasefire. Listen, I know what I'm saying and I need you to come along with me. The Bible says, it's ordained for men in things pertaining to God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. I'm taking my time about this sermon, honestly. Now, verse 2, come with me to verse 2 if I can read from the board. In verse 2, the Bible says, and this is concerning the shepherd, it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Ask somebody, have you been out of the way before? Or ask somebody, sometimes in your life, are you ignorant about something? In Lighthouse, we have something we call CSD, Common Current State Delusion. Current meaning where we are now. The state, the way we are. Delusion meaning deception. Each time in life, you can easily have some current state delusion or deception. Somebody can say, now we have a bishop. So it means that, they are going to transfer him immediately. We have a bishop now. It means that, the bishop, it means that now the bishop, he will not even talk to us again. It's a delusion. Last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, even before the consecration, I was a bishop elect then. I want to visit some people. And the one we are living, I told my wife that we are going. I told the people that we are going on visitation. Then a lady, a Christian in the house, said, so the bishop too, he goes on visitation. It's a delusion to think that the fact that I'm a bishop doesn't mean that I'm no more a Christian. The fact that I'm what? A bishop. It doesn't mean I'm no more. I'm still a Christian. Ask somebody, are you still a Christian? Just because you are given a position in the church or you are now a chapel head or something, it doesn't mean you are no more a Christian. The Bible says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, in that he himself is encompassed about with infirmity. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the next verse, let me just paraphrase very quickly. He said, so therefore he ought for himself, as for the people, to make sacrifices and give for sins. Meaning that high priest in the Old Testament, just as he will go and make sacrifice for sins on behalf of others, for himself also, like as I'm preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself. Are you getting me? For himself, he also needs to take care of himself. There are many pastors who will ask people to do things, but they themselves, they won't do it. It's a dangerous thing. Verse 4, very quickly, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. Because that's where I'm talking about. Tell somebody a position of honor. Yesterday, I was talking with some of the planning committee people, and I was asking them what they're doing. They said, we are going to do this, we are going to do that, this, that's for today's service. And I said, the thing that we are going to do is almost the same like anybody's birthday. Yeah, I told them, I said, the thing that you are telling me, they say, no, there are some other things. And truly, I've seen that there were some other things. Put your hands together for the planning committee. But you see, that when they said, I said, is that like anybody's birthday? Any person we don't know, it's birthday, the thing that you are coming to do is consecration, celebration, it's just the same. And I was telling them that then there's no difference, there's no honor. It's like you are in your house, and then you have visitors, all married men, say amen. And then your wife brings the food, and all of a sudden this visitor, who you have just introduced to your wife, your wife is giving him the nicest plates, the nicest glasses, and there is some chilled wine in the fridge. He goes to open it for her, and then even the meat, he takes the biggest meat and gives it to the visitor. I say, and then when it is your turn, he gives you some choche something. Won't you protest? Won't there be a revolution in your house? Won't you say, arise? Won't you say, yen didi, yen didi, yen didi? Won't you say, aluta? Charles, won't you raise some aluta songs? What are some aluta songs? Won't you raise aluta in your house? Why? Because more honor is being given. Uncle Jeff, you understand? Uncle Jeffrey, I don't think your wife will do that anyway. I'm sure your wife honors you in the house, isn't it so? Put your hands together for Uncle Jeff. My wife also honors me in the house. But there are wives who don't honor. Who don't honor. I'm talking to somebody. You must understand that having a shepherd or a bishop in your life is a place of honor. And verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 5 says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Listen, I didn't go and consecrate myself. There are some people who get angry with the church just because they think they have some anointing. Then the next time they leave the church, and they say, now me too, I'm a pastor. And the next time I realize, then they are doing some things, some skirmishes, etc. Look, you are out of place. It's a very dangerous thing. Because the Bible says, no man. That is why even when also you are appointed or you are selected, or it's like, Charlie, from today, I believe you can start a church. You must also believe that it is God. Because it was not you, per se, who just got up and say, I want to do this. Are you understanding me? And as much as you are supposed to respond to the call of God, definitely God will use somebody to say, from today, I think you can do this, or you should do that. Are you understanding me? When I speak to people and they say that, oh, me, I don't think I can be a shepherd, I don't think I can be a church planter, I realize that they are thinking that the thing is them. It's they themselves who are doing it. Who are you? What is it that you have that you don't receive? You think in your own power you can do something? You can't. Sometimes it becomes absurd when you try and do something and force something by yourself. It's like this lady, I think in America or someplace, who wasn't getting married, she was about 32, all of a sudden said, look, nobody's coming to marry me. And you know what she did? She organized a wedding ceremony, and who did she marry? She married herself. Oh yes. She organized a wedding ceremony, and then she said, nobody's coming to marry me, so what would I do? I will marry myself. As if her own was better than the one who married her dog. And that lady, she also chose to marry her dog. No, I'm speaking to somebody here. Tell somebody a position of honor. Number two is a place of authority. A place of what? Authority. The same Hebrews chapter 5, come with me to verse 10. Too many scriptures I have for you, but they're important. A place of what? Authority. In most countries and most cities, the bishop is actually seen as the gatekeeper of the town. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's a place of what? Honor. And a place of authority. I wish I had more time to go into this, but maybe Genesis chapter 41 will help you. Genesis chapter 41 will help you. Can we just go to Genesis chapter 41 and come back very quickly? Come with me. Just a few minutes and then we will close this service. Are you alive? You thought I wouldn't preach today. You were praying that I wouldn't preach today. You were hoping that as for today, it will be free. What do you think? In Genesis chapter 41, so that we don't have to move too slowly, go to verse 41. Tell somebody 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Everybody say, a ring. And he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. He gave him a new cloth, like he saw me wearing some new clothes. It was not just for nothing that we have to wear something. They symbolize something. And they put a gold chain about his neck, like I'm wearing a gold chain. Verse 43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot. That is the motorcade. He gave him the second car. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Tell somebody a place of authority. I'm talking about shepherd and bishop of your soul. And all that I'm doing is to describe what it means to have a shepherd or a bishop. Number three, and I'll be closing on number three. Establishment of order. Order. Establishment of what? Order. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. How I wish this sermon was a little more interesting. How I wish I had some joke to share with you so that it will wake you up. But if the Holy Spirit can open your heart, you will be excited. Have you gone to a country that there is no order? Anybody here who has gone to a country without, or a place, a city, where there is no order? It is on my lips to say, but I can't say. Certain places in our communities, we can't easily go there. Oh, yes. I remember as a missionary, once upon a time in the night, I'd gone to visit somebody in a place, and I got lost. But that place was one of the wild places. Is there a wild place in Accra? A place where even policemen are afraid to go? Because in different countries, there are places where policemen, even they are afraid to go. Certain places, the place is so wild that if you are bathing, are you listening to me? If you are bathing, your bathing soap, you don't have to take it to the bathroom. You have to just put it on your head, rub it on your head, leave the soap at home. Because when you are bathing, you leave the soap. They can steal it. You either leave it at home or you put it in your mouth. No, I was, this night I was driving and I got lost. And I started seeing the newspaper headlines. Because it was a dangerous place. I said, they are going to catch me here. They are going to kill me. They are going to take my car. They are going to take my money. Because I was in a place where there was no order. You go to a country, there was no order. I traveled once to Congo. Congo, DRC Congo. I was in a city called Lubumbashi. I'd gone to officiate a wedding there. Hey! Disorder. They drive anywhere. As we were going on, then I saw my driver move to the other side. I said, why? They said, Oporto. Then I saw another car. Then, I mean, they just move, run about. When you go, you just use a short, even there before. Short, is it true what I'm saying? Tell them. Congo, Kinshasa, whatever. Lubumbashi, tell them.
It's true.
It's true. Disorder. There's no order in the town. When I got to the border, there was somebody just wearing ordinary clothes. I wish I can get someone just ordinary clothes, no uniform, nothing. And then he came, he wanted my passport. Yeah, come. Can you imagine you arrive at the border? Even you cry, you are looking nice. And then somebody like this is come and become aggressive. Like, passport, and his friends are doing that. Passport. Somebody like that is not wearing uniform, he wants your passport. Would you give him your passport? Hey, this order, I'm talking about order, establishment of order. When you have a shepherd in your life, there's establishment of order. Put your hands together. The shepherd and bishop of your life. Look, I didn't mind him. And I kept on going till I went into the immigration office. Then he did something that shocked me. Because I didn't think, I thought he was just, then he pushed the immigration officers with their blue uniform. Then he himself also went to stand behind the counter. And then once again, he stretched forth his hands. Then I realized that this country is very, very disorderly. Very, very, it's like going to license office and seeing all these, how do you call them? Goro boys. You don't know who you are dealing with. That's why in Sweduru, last week or 2 weeks ago, we caught three people, fake dentists. Fake, how many of you saw the story in the newspaper? Fake dentists. If you have been to the dentist before, this story will make the hair on your head rise up. Fake, they have been practicing for 15 years. Fake dances with adverts and everything. When there's a country with disorder, that's what happens. And they have been removing people's teeth. And they have been treating abscesses and everything. One reporter who was following the story, when he went to sit there, before they worked on him, he saw that the man was without gloves. He saw that the needle that was coming, there was blood on the needle. Disorder. It can be dangerous, though. When you go to a spare parts shop, where is our spare parts shop in Ghana here? Abu Sokai. It's not all the parts that is proper. But because there's disorder from the port, somebody can import anything. You will buy the part, put it on your bus. You think it's a correct break, then we will have accident on the road. Disorder. In our legal system. Hey, Pastor, are you against this thing? No, I'm just trying to let you know that when there's disorder, it is very, very dangerous. The Bible says in the book of Job chapter 10, verse 22, it says, in the place of death, where there's no order. Even in it is in death. I'm speaking to people who are alive. It is you who is alive that you can have some order. Put your hands together for yourself. The state of disorder is like the state of death. Did I give you Job chapter something 10 verse 22? Yeah. Maybe you should read it. A land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order. When there's disorder in your life, it is your, like you're a dead person. I'm not the one who said it. Am I the one who said it? Ask somebody, there's some order in your life. Do you recognize order in your life when you see it? When you see a consecration, is it just pictures? Is it pictures and it's like a star? What's the song that we're singing as we're coming in there? What's the song that we're singing? Oh Lord my God, when I know someone, come, 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 help me. Come, all of you are following me. Consider all. Do what I'm doing, don't do it. I'm not making mockery of the process, but I'm letting you know that. What's the song? This is my soul. I say, How did I? If you knew, if you are clapping, clap. Shepherd and bishop of our souls. I'm so glad that I have had a shepherd in my life. Pastors in my life. I'm so glad that Bishop Dakiwood Mills can shepherd me, even from afar. I'm happy that I can have people that I can go to them and say, I need advice on this and that. I mean, recently I heard a story in one of the countries that I used to visit. I was talking to the pastor recently and I was asking, so what about this person? What about this person? He said, oh, he's doing well. This person. Then I said, what about this person? He said, And I'm talking about a lawyer. So this person, I said, what do you mean? What does he said? We were there, no. Then we heard she had bought a ticket from somebody from another country who had just, she doesn't know. She was just introduced to the person by phone, and the person has come, and now they are just gone on a holiday somewhere, and they didn't tell the pastor. You see, when you are somebody who makes some kind of rappel, are you understanding me? Not you, but you are somebody who just makes some kind of moves. Today you are here, and today you are moving with this sugar daddy, today you are this, and today we can't really tell. There's nobody. And some pastors, to their mouth is full of POP. They are afraid to say. And you know, some pastors, either they are afraid to say, or sometimes it's just compassion. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. And they can't say, nobody can say anything. Theophilus, can you imagine if nobody can say anything in your life? It's like our bishop saying that when his father died, he realized that there was no, his voice was not there. Just imagine, there's no voice to say anything. For those of you who are close to your fathers, you understand what I'm saying. For those who don't probably have fathers or fathers to speak in their lives, you might not really understand. But that's why you are in church. And that's why you have a pastor. That's why you have a shepherd. That's why you have somebody like me who can look at you and say that no. Listen, can you imagine if you didn't have a pastor in your life? I'm sure some of you, even you want to do something, and it will cross your mind that this thing, if pastor hears, it will not be good. Who understands what I'm saying? And that thing alone, it will do what? It will check you. But some people are stubborn. They are what? Stubborn. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 1, I believe, it says that he that often being reproved, Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that often been reproved, hardeneth his neck. It's like I'm saying that, look, the way you are, this is the right road for you. Walk on this road, but he still wants to walk on this way. Don't go, but just turn your head like this. And I'm trying to turn his head. Make sure you don't turn. I'm trying to turn his head to the correct way. Hardeneth his neck. The Bible says he shall be struck down suddenly and without remedy. Trying to attend, and I'll preach different sermons. I'll preach an akazo. I'll preach the heart. I'll preach about loyalty and his loyalty. I'll preach, but still, what are some of the singers? Is there any talented solo artist here? Come and sing to him. I will say, please, can we come and sing to this person? What song? What song? Can you sing? Can you sing? If you're not singing, sit down. We are singing to you so that you can turn. but you are not turning. Sometimes we even kneel down when we beg you. Say, oh, we beg you. Sometimes we call you to the office. She says, can you do this? Why have you stopped singing? I'm not speaking to Theophilus. I'm speaking to you. You have made yourself an unknown factor. You will come when it is consecration, something, something, something. But apart from that, we won't see you till December. And Pastor, but why you say these things? It's uncomfortable. Then drink the medicine and get well. I said, drink the medicine and get well. We don't know anything about you. You are some shadow. You come and you go. When we close church, you are the first person to run away. Because you don't want the pastor to know anything about you. Even when your wife says, let's go and discuss this issue with the pastor. Hey! Hey! Araban Kwanta. Say, Wunin. Na Wukko. Osofunuho. Na Wukko ka asemba kun ewofia hanum say. Ubehumi true kora. Woman whom is true, Cora. And there's some of you like that. You are entering into a relationship. We don't know. We are there, and all of a sudden, then it's like we hear that you are pregnant. Oh, we hear that you are pregnant. You never told any shepherd, any pastor. I heard about one recently. I was so sad. And then sometimes, in order for you to do. I don't know why you don't want to think. And in order for you to do things so that no shepherd can say something, then you take a break. You don't come to church for 3 weeks or 6 weeks. So that you can be doing some things. And then when it's like a tiwa, when it's like, then you say, you come to church, then you say, like, hey, I've come. Hey, Pastor, why? You too, why? I'm talking about order. I'm talking about order, establishment of order. Titus chapter 1 verse 5, if I can share that scripture with you. Pastor King, I don't know whether I'm preaching a proper sermon. Shepherd and bishop of your soul. Ask somebody, do you have a shepherd in your life? When your shepherd is calling you, then you switch off your phone. You intentionally have told the people in your house that in case the shepherd calls you, tell them that I'm not in. One day, your child will go to the door and then you will say, that is in country, or say, Oniho. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Do you know what the Bible says? This is Paul. It says, for this reason, I left you in a town called Crete, that thou should do what? Set in order the things that are wanting. Everybody say wanting. There are some things that are wanting in your life. Wanting means that there are some things in your life, you don't understand, God. There are some things that are lacking in your life just because there's no shepherd. I give you full control wherever you may lead. I will follow. I have made a choice.
I have made a choice
not to listen to the voice of Daddy Lumba, but to listen to your voice
wherever you may lead. I will go.
Do you have a shepherd in your life that you have made a choice to listen to him or her?
Shepherd of my soul.
Venice, when I tell you that you are 19 years old, and at 19 years old, you need to be thinking of your career, of your school. You don't need any foolish boy. Do you know a boy around your age at 19? Ghana boy at 19 years old. When he wakes up in the morning, he normally has an erection. All those who have been 19, true or false? Yes. And all that he's looking for is a direction for expression. As the nearest young man, are you looking for direction for expression? You don't have any business. Be friends with them. Have friends. Develop how to speak with them, etc. But don't say that this is my beloved. Because the moment you say beloved, it's almost as if you have handed over your life. The next thing is you want to remove your dross. Is it not so? The next thing is that once you say I'm the beloved, oh, if you are beloved, oh, then let's do what beloveds do. We will beloved those. And when you meet early in the morning, in the evening, hot afternoon, the young man, he doesn't care. And they are owning Nana said, Ponkonuch Nasusa. I heard it on an advert. They say some medicine, when you take it now, Ponkonuch Nasu. Not am I advising somebody? Yeah. If I don't love this girl, I can't say what I'm saying. And she's representing most of you. If you don't have a shepherd in your life who can be watching you and watching some moves, realize that this lady used to wear minimal makeup, small, but all of a sudden it's like the makeup has become lazy. Maybe I watch those things. I watch any suspect. One of the signs, for example, is a young guy or young lady, all of a sudden the person is proud. All of a sudden, the person is proud. A humble person who should come and say hello, pastor. This all of a sudden, the person is proud. Is withdrawn himself. It's like when he says something, and it's like, yeah. The person has probably started having sex. Oh yes. Do you want me to prove it in the Bible for you? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know whether you like these things. All these people, they are separate. God bless you. Bernice, are you angry with me? You see, I want to see you at the proper time. Coming from the aisle. And then we'll be playing the music. Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Bam, 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 bam. And at that time, it will not be that there is twins inside the womb. And the pastor is now forced to bless it. And we all know that. See, somebody asked a question that a young boy went to a wedding, a small boy. Then he said that, why is it that, mommy, why is it that the bride is wearing white? And then the mommy decided to explain. Oh, it's because she's supposed to be pure, a virgin, and all those things. Then the boy was there, and I said, Then the groom, why is he wearing black? If the white is purity, then the black must be this one there. Veteran. But we wear white to symbolize. But sometimes as we are laying hands on them, as we are praying for them, it's not like that though. Yeah. Shale. Seho, seho. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. May the Lord bless you and give you a wonderful husband. Ladies and gentlemen, tell somebody order. Establishment of what? Order. In Titus chapter 1 verse 5, I'll just close in a short time. Titus chapter 1 verse 5, it says, and ordain elders. Ordain what? Everybody say ordain. Ordain what? Elders. And I've taught you ordain means to set in order. That's the meaning, to set in order. That is where we get the word ordinance. Ordinance is the laws of a city as compared to constitution and everything. Forgive me for these things, but when you understand it's good. Ordinance, the ordinances. You are married under the ordinance, the law of the city. Listen very carefully. And appoint elders in every city as I have appointed you. Now verse 6. Come with me and you'll be surprised. Did you see elders? Now in verse 6, the Bible says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, it starts talking about the qualification of a bishop. A bishop then must be blah, 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 blah. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, if you are confused, verse 7 will tell you, for a bishop must be blameless. It was talking about elders. It has used the word elder and bishop interchangeably. Are you now understanding what I'm saying? And the bishop or the elder was supposed to set in order. I don't know how I'm struggling to say these things. So when you have a bishop, there is supposed to be some order in your life. And when there's no order, you are just as good as dead, according to Job chapter 10, verse 22. Because in the place of death, there's no order. Ask somebody, are you living or you are dying? I'll end. The way you are looking at me, I'll end. I have too many scriptures. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And then we are just about to close. Listen, as you are looking for Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, let me tell you something. There are three places. Everybody say three places. There are three places that we need to have some kind of order, and God has also given us order. Number one is in a nation. In a nation, everyone say a nation. In a nation, God has so designed that we should have the head of state or the president who is the one in charge. That's why the very first scripture that we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, when we started reading from verse 17 and we went down, the Bible says, honor all men, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. And it was said by no less a person than Peter. And if you know anything about Peter, Peter was somebody that once upon a time, he did not honor the king. When they came to arrest Jesus Christ, which was coming from the king himself, he took a sword and he cut off somebody's ears. I don't know whether you can catch it, but he had gotten a certain revelation. Now he was saying honor the king. In a nation, those of you and me who have been insulting the president, stop and rather pray for him. Pray for him. If you see something wrong, fine, you can mention it. But be praying. Honor. Let's honor. Let's learn to place honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I don't know whether you're understanding what I'm saying. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. That is the scripture I want us to read. So in the nation, we have a due order that we are supposed to observe. In a family. Everybody say family. There is also supposed to be some order. Lady Pastor Patsy, am I preaching a proper sermon? I'm talking about shepherd and bishop of our soul. And I'm pointing out to somebody here who has made himself or herself shepherdless. When we were taking the pictures, I was looking. Because everybody is supposed to fall under some category, unless you're a visitor. Everybody. Because if you fall under morning glory, you have a certain kind of shepherd. If you fall under hope, you have shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd of hope? Where is the shepherd of hope? Or you've forgotten that you are the shepherd of hope service? How many of you know that he's the shepherd of the hope service? Maybe you're a shepherd, but they don't know. If you fall under Isaiah, you have a shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Yeah. If you fall under Daniel, you have a shepherd. If you're a king, and I heard queens also. But for all you know, you don't see this man. You are an usher, but you don't see this man as your shepherd. No, be Tony. He be Tony. Well, that guy we they work with Rev. So when he calls, you don't even mind. You don't know that you are bringing disorder and death into your life. If I have time to preach about where there's disorder, you would have seen the danger of disorder. The danger of disorder. Let me just finish preaching. So in the house, everybody say in the house. There's order. What is the order? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us the order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was saying, follow me as, verse 1, follow me as I, what? Follow Christ. And then in verse 2, do you know what Paul said? Is somebody here with me? I will end and I will drink our Coca-Cola. The Bible says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances, keep the order of things. Don't step out of the way. Don't become somebody who is unruly, somebody who cannot be controlled, who cannot be told sit. Andrew, can you be told to sit? Can you be told to stand? You can't be told to stand, you are still sitting. Can you be told to sit? Can you be told to stand? Can you be told to sit? Can you be told to stand? Can you be told to jump? Can you be told to dance as Azonto? Put your hands together for him. But there are some people, we can't tell them anything. No. Be careful when your shepherd cannot say anything to you. What is my father thinking that he's not saying? Oh, me. I always tell my pastor that, look, recently when I was when I was consecrated, we were having breakfast, and I went to sit by Prophet Kaka. I said, Prophet, please, I beg you, anything that you have to say in my life, say it too. I said, anything that you have to say in my life. Because I recognize that I need a shepherd and a bishop of my soul. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. Me, I need a shepherd. I need to be humble enough to be led. Humble enough to be led. Because some of us are going wayward, things are not working, all because we just get up and say,
But look at your life. Miyakola. The Bible says, let them keep the ordinances. And then verse 3 gives us the structure. I told you I'll be reading verses. You thought I was lying to you. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, now the head of who? Every man is who? Christ. And the head of who? The woman is who? The man. Hey, all wives, say amen. All potential wives, say amen. Miknu dear. Or yet told a girl. Told a girl, see anything? Hey, Miknu dear, or told a girl. Yes, Miknu. Kai tabu. Tabo, gang. How do some of the women describe their husbands? Boo. A bear for a yeseke. Oh. But the Bible says that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's the order. Everybody say order. So if you don't respect your husband at home, you cannot come and sit in church. Pastor, I don't know my husband. Look, that is the order that the Bible says. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And even Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, when we read verse 8, the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things that he suffered. He was obedient to his parents. When he was growing up as a child, the Bible says that he was in subjection to his parents. Even Jesus. And you, who are you? Only 17 years old. Only 17, and because you're only 27, and because you have a good job, and because you think that you are this, because a man has sex with you and said you are sweet, all of a sudden it's like, wabasho. You don't know that man has said it to 17 other girls before you. I know I'm preaching. The nation. We have the head of state in a church, in a home. We have the husband as the head, the wife. If you're a wife here, don't make your husband's role look light in the eyes of the children. Don't mind daddy. Daddy has said this, and then all of a sudden you want to change it. Don't mind daddy. Don't mind daddy. You are bringing up a rebel in the house. You are bringing up a tergiversator. Somebody who will rise up and cause trouble, attire you, just because of the way you brought up that child. He can be a pastor, but he doesn't even know how to talk because you train him or her how to insult people. Let me close this service in the church. The third place of order is in the church. I'm sure by now you understand the sermon. By now. If you don't know me, by now, you will never know me. Let's close the service. Ladies and gentlemen, tell somebody, the church. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. We are closing. We started from 1 Peter and then we are closing in 1 Peter. Is it a good idea? Put your hands together. The church. 1 Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Listen, when I say these things, I know what I'm talking about. I know many husbands and wives who are, as I'm speaking right now, they are fighting. I remember doing marriage counseling for a husband and wife once upon a time in my living room. As I was speaking with them, then the Lord opened my eyes. Then I saw a demon. And the demon was suspended in the air. And then there was this big pot in front of the demon like that. And then the demon was staring something. And the Lord revealed to me that, this is the demon of conflict. Always staring it up. Look, if wives and husbands were to, there are some wives, you see them very, very nice. But Charlie, they are what we call NFNS. Tell somebody NF. NS. No food, no sex. No food, no sex. You see, there's our bishop has written a book here. And the title of the book is Good General. I'll close the service, don't worry. Today is a combined service. We will never have a service like this before. And you realize that because the devil knows how order establishment comes in your life. For example, marriage is supposed to bring a certain kind of order in your life. So the Bible says, he who finds a wife, he finds a good thing and he obtains favor. My wife has been one of my greatest supporters. Put your hands together for her. She has stood behind me. She has stood beside me. She has carried many, many arrows on my behalf. Some she was not supposed to carry anyway. But she has taken many slaps on my behalf. Not a physical slap. Listen very carefully, and I'm grateful for her life. This year we are celebrating 22 years. And I'm looking forward. You see, I need to say all these things before the devil tells you that, he's preaching about his wife. I'm not preaching about my wife. I'm talking to someone who will be married one day. And I want you to know that God wants us to have order in our life. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because you see, there is a war and the devil is against you. Young man, I said there's a war. And the devil is what? Against you. Songs of Solomon chapter 2. Chapter 1 verse 2. When you read going down, it says that because of the sweetness of thy ointment. Is that what the Bible says? Something like that. Therefore, do the young virgins like you. If you're a young man, know that there's many ladies who are ready to spoil you one time. Yeah. They are ready. If you also open up yourself. Listen very carefully. Bishop writes in this book. He calls something the sex attack. Can I read it for you? The sex. Tell somebody sex attacks. What is a sex attack? A sex attack is an attack on your life and ministry through sex. Those of you who heard me in the middle there, tell somebody. Tell the person an attack on your life. Through sex. And me, I'm the type. I'm the type. I cannot be affected. The devil can make 5-year plan on your life. 5-year what? Plan. I spoke to a man of God recently, and he was speaking to me about another man of God who was attacked, if I must say, by a young lady. This young lady, I think, came to visit her. He went to visit her or something. The young lady said, she just came from town. She wants to wash down. So she's going to wash. So the man was in the living room. The next thing he realized, the woman has come. She just had a cloth on her. And then
She stood in front of the man, and I was wondering why the man was still standing there. Then she removed the cloth. And I said, do you like it? Look at her and say, do you like it? Maria Mama Shakata Kabroko Sokoto Yanda. There's a young man here who is saying, I wish it was me. Reverend Frank, can I continue preaching a little? Can you give me 5 more minutes just to finish the sermon? Every pastor, can I continue? Every gentleman, okay. Listen, a sex attack can happen to a man or a woman. Sex attacks are some of the commonest types of attacks on Christians, ministers. Sex attacks take many forms, but the long-term goal of sex attacks are 100 times more devastating than the short-term effects. You may not know that sex attacks are spiritual attacks, but they are. I'm speaking to you, even if you are not married. Sex is a very spiritual thing, and the sex organs are portals, that is, doorways, through which spirits enter the human body. Revelation chapter 18 will tell you. Most Christians have been tempted at one time or the other to do something wrong sexually. All young men say amen. You can have the power over masturbation. Say amen. From today, you will not masturbate in Jesus' name. I can't share certain things with you unless you come close. On the surface, these attacks look like sexual mistakes that have no long-term consequences. We all assume that if confessed, God will forgive those sexual sins and the matter will be over. However, there are many long-term goals behind the sexual attack. These long-term plans of the enemy are not easy to discern. Indeed, when they materialize, you can hardly link what is happening to the sexual deed of yesteryear. There are 3 types of sex attacks that exist. Number 1, fornication attack. Ask somebody, do you have a fornication attack? Hey. Number 2, low frequency and quality sex. This is for married people. Low frequency. Married people. Low frequency and quality. Tell somebody quality. As for quality, there are different qualities. I can give you KFC chicken and I can also give you chopper chicken. And then number 3, zero sex attacks. Tell somebody zero sex. This is for marriage people. Look, I don't know whether you are ready to hear some of these things. The way you are looking at me and listening to me, I don't know. Oi! I remember another situation in which a brother who had lived a life of multiple and indiscriminate fornication, although married to a very beautiful girl, was unable to have sex with her, to enjoy sex with her. Somehow, she never matched up to some of the exotic and energetic young ladies he had sex with. If you're a young man, you are just having sex by heart. When you marry, you will be confused. Having sex with his wife even produced a guilt feeling for him. Soon, this brother was having very little sex with his wife, until he became a self-declared impotent and non-sexual man. His wife never knew why he was not aggressive or interested in having sex with her. Hey! The stories are plain to you. In another situation, a brother who lived continually in fornication simply developed HIV and began to die slowly. May you be healed from HIV in Jesus' name. There are many, many stories. Do you like some of the stories? A certain brother married to a Christian sister struggled to have sex often. There is always a reason why sex does not happen and cannot happen. For some people, if it does not happen, it is because of the lowest quality in the world. This is called hard to get sex. Many people suffer from hard to get sex. This is a sex attack, and it is spiritual in its nature. It is also called a low frequency and quality sex attack. In this case, sex is technically available to the man, but in reality, it is of the lowest frequency and of the lowest quality. Tell somebody what quality is yours. Hey, if you are not married, don't ask anybody. No, I don't know whether you understand why I'm reading these things. Are you angry at me? Maybe I'll just talk about the church. Order in the church. And then we'll close. You can buy a copy of this book and you can read for yourself.
Do you want to become a rapist? Do you want to become a pornographer? Do you want to become an adulterer? Do you want to eventually not have a home or a family? Do you want to be someone who can never get married? Do you want to become a divorcee? Do you want to eventually become a homosexual? Do you want to become someone who sleeps with both boys and girls? If not, do not take any of these sex attacks lightly. All married men and women from today. Huh? Why are you quiet? All married men and women from today, check the frequency of your sex. If you are not a married man, stay away from it. Amen. Let's close this service. The way you are looking at me, I'm worried. But it's a real problem, because there's no order in a house or in the church. Church. The third order. Order in the church. God has set it that in the church there should be some order. That's why we have pastors, shepherds, whatever, basil heads, bishop council, assistant pastor, all those things. We must learn to respect all these rankings. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and then we will close. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Paul says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. And then he says, he himself, he is also an elder. Are you getting me? So he's also speaking to himself. And he said, a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, very quickly, I'm ending. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Tell the nearest shepherd, please feed me. Say, feed me with some proper food. Tell the person, I want fresh food. I want fresh manna. Tell the shepherd that I like some meat. Tell the person, I'm ready for some meat. Sometimes you force the pastor to give milk. Yeah, for when for the time being you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Christ, and have become such as have need of milk and not of meat. For strong meat belong to them that are of full age, who, the Bible says, they have exercised their senses to discern between right and wrong. Am I speaking to somebody here? Tell somebody, I need some meat. When we share certain meat, some people cannot handle it. All these people here, this time has come for you to now also start sharing some milk and some meat to some other people. Yeah. Hey, Frank, this is not true. How many of you here have been born again for quarter 1 year? Lift up your hand. Quarter 1 year. Look at them. Quarter 2 years. Quarter 3 years. Quarter 4 years. Quarter 5 years. 5 years born again, and you are sitting here. Meanwhile, when you were a young boy and you started seeing hair around your penis, and then now you could feel erection. Quarter 1 year. Quarter 2 years. You wanted to do something. I know what I'm talking about. But you have been born again 5 years, but you don't want to do anything. You don't want to give birth. There are babies, there are churches, there are churches in your waist. Can you shake your waist like my own? Churches. Put your hands together for them. There are churches. There are people who are waiting for them to hear from them. No, I'm serious about what I'm saying, you know. If we don't mature in a certain sense as a church, we will just sit here and then we will implode. It's a word. Implode. Not explode. We will implode. We will just be weighed down. Hear the word of God every time you don't share it. Hey, Pastor, but I'm a shepherd of a basil. I'm a shepherd of this. And no. Time has come when we must release some people so that other people can rise up.
also to become chapel heads, isn't also to become ministry shepherds, to become also people who are standing strong in the church. In fact, they don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what I'm saying at all. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Peter is talking about a structure that we must have shepherds taking care of people, showing them the right way. Not shepherds who are just shepherds in name. You just have a name. Shepherd. Shepherdo. Shepherdo. Shepiro. And see, there's nothing inside you. It's like I go to some country, they call somebody a bishop. But see, there's nothing. It's just his title. Pastor King, I'm ending this sermon. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, this is for somebody here who is asking himself, what is the point on becoming a shepherd? What's the point? I just want to take care of myself and my life, my family. Look, a day of accountability is coming. One day we all stand before the judgment seat of God to answer for certain things. One day you have to answer. You say you are born again. You say you know Christ. All that your Christianity was good for is to wear big coat and big chain. Big chain. That's all Christianity. To sing a song. I can see you from afar. That's all your Christianity. That's all your, tell somebody, is that all your Christianity? Hold the person and say, this is your dress. This is your dress. Is that all your Christianity? Is that all your Christianity? Look at us, is that all your Christianity? Is that all your Christianity? Hey! Is that all your Christianity? Say you are born again. Nobody has heard you preach to him or her before. Nobody has heard you share a testimony. How many of you have been born again? Quarter, quarter, 1 year. Quarter, quarter, 2 years. Quarter, quarter, 3 years. Quarter, quarter, 4 years. Quarter, quarter, 5 years. Quarter, quarter, 6 years. Quarter, quarter, 7 years. Look at them all. 7 years born again. Meanwhile, when they got born again, I've closed the service. Hey, when their voice broke, my voice broke at 12. So from that time, I became shy of speaking. Their voice broke and they had big words, hello. And then they saw some small hair in their armpit. Then they saw that certain things were working. That one, they were ready to go and plant some seeds. Some years ago, in the country that I was, they didn't used to do circumcision. Do you know circumcision? And then one of our sons, spiritual sons, very close to my wife and I, he was about, how old was he? 20? 19, 20? He went to do the circumcision. You see, those days, it was just introduced into the country. So even in parliamentarians went to take it and came to. Then this boy went to do the circumcision. Then after how long? 1 week? 2 weeks? After, let's say, 2 weeks, came to tell me that he has finished the circumcision. But then he also came to tell my wife, God, we're close, that he has finished. Then he asked my wife permission. Tell somebody permission. He wasn't married though. Permission. He said he has now finished the circumcision. It has healed. He wants to go and test it. Put your hands together, stand to your feet as you close. Ask somebody, do you want to test it? Lift up your voice to the Lord. Pray to God that you will be a shepherd and a bishop to somebody. And then number two, you will also have a shepherd and a bishop in your life. Just pray to God for a moment. Pray to God for a moment. Pray to God for a moment. Pray to God. Father, have mercy on us, Lord. As we pray, lead us. Lead us to be true shepherds after the similitude of Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek, who had neither beginning of days nor end of years. teach us and train us to be true shepherds and bishops. Not just bishops in title, but overseers. Overseers. Help us to look after others. 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. We worship you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Right into his arms.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Bishop Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323 or 0206-485-107. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 00233 and email us at samsawyer@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Tuesday evening, we meet at 6 to 8 p.m. for our midweek service. And on Friday evening, we meet from 6 to 8 p.m. for our loyalty and fruitfulness service. God bless you.
Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.